I'd like to start by thanking the Czech colleague for inviting me here, in particular for being able to give this talk during the seminar, but on the whole to be here in Prague, which makes me really happy because I love the city and the country, and I would like to particularly thank Professor Eva Hayecheva and Professor Yarmila Panevova and Magda Sevchikova and Marketa Lopatkova and everybody. So let me start with this talk. I understand, of course, that it is not always interesting to hear about the material of one language which is a foreign one in another language is also is a foreign one, but still let me hope that it will be of some interest, because the attenuatives that I'm going to speak about turned out to be quite interesting and unexpected. I hope I will be able to show that to you. So the summary is as follows. I will speak about syntactic and semantic properties of Russian comparatives with the prefix po, like побольше. Well, approximately it's somewhat more, but it's not exact translation, of course. Or поумнее, a bit cleverer, again, not the exact translation, which we will see later. And I'll show that such units have two major types of usage, the comparative one and the selective one. We'll see that later. The former is close to the semantics of the standard comparative degree, and the latter is closer to the semantics of the superlative, however strange it may sound. And within the comparative type, there is a special case which is quite interesting, namely the correlative construction, which contains two attenuatives. Its feature is cross-filling or valency slots of the comparatives, but we'll see that later. The results that will be presented here are joint results by Igor Boguslavsky and myself. We worked that together and worked for quite a long time, for a couple of months, which is a long time for us. And I believe that you will be able to see what we have been able to, what we were able to achieve. The plan will be introductory remarks, then syntactic and combinatorial properties of attenuatives, semantics of both types. Introductory remarks will be quite long, but they seem to be very necessary. Otherwise, I'm afraid nobody is going to understand what it is all about. Russian comparative adjectives and adverbs with the prefix po are ordinary and absolutely widespread, especially in the colloquial speech, but not exactly in the colloquial speech. You may meet them everywhere. It's interesting, they are acquired very early in life. So a boy, 2 years old, already knows them, and he uses them quite freely, and everybody does that. On the other hand, these adverbs and adjectives seem to be endemic. They are for Russian only. Well, I checked all Slavic languages, and found the following. They are absolutely unknown beyond Eastern Slavic languages. They are so unknown that, for instance, when I spoke to a Polish linguist and asked him whether there could be expressions like po więcej in Polish, he said, yes, of course. And he gave me an example. Wszyscy widzieli po więcej coś takiego, po więcej pieniądze, ale coś takiego, or something like that. This is, of course, this has nothing to do with what we have in Russian. As far as Ukrainian and Belarusian is concerned, it is as follows. I have never been able to speak to a person who would be a native speaker of Ukrainian, who at the same time would not be the native speaker of Russian. So I cannot, they couldn't tell me whether Ukrainian has it or not. It looks as though some of the dialects, the eastern ones, do have it, but not on a wide scale, and the western dialects don't have it at all. As far as Belarusian is concerned, the literary language seems to mark these forms, but as it does not virtually exist, it is difficult to say, whereas the colloquial Belarusian does not have these forms definitely. So it's quite endemic, which is quite strange because, well, it's a Slavic language, and it's a very widespread phenomena, and for this to be endemic is strange. But still, this is the case. Actually, some people did discuss these adjectives because they are and adverbs because they are very widespread, but I would say that the discussion was not very, very deep. I would say only very simple things were written in grammars and textbooks, and dictionaries did not pay attention to them at all. But grammars did, not very many of them, and not in many details. The academician Vinogradov, the famous writer, only said that in forms ending with these things, получше, покрасивее, побольше, etc., the meaning of the comparative is not complicated. Without po, is not complicated by any additional shade of meaning. These forms with po may combine with the prefix po. It usually mollifies or softens or whatever the degree of prevalence of a quality in one of the objects compared. For example, люди победнее нас, people somewhat poorer than we, or ученики помоложе, students who are a bit younger. We will see that it is not very correct, because if there is a mollification or an attenuation, it is much more complicated and interesting. But just for the sake of clarity, let us proceed from the assumption that these are mollification forms. Бедный, беднее, победнее. Люди победнее нас, people somewhat poorer than ourselves. Молодой, моложе, помоложе. Ученики помоложе, students a bit younger. We will focus on the semantic peculiarities and on a lesser scale, syntactic properties of constructions that contain these units, and we will disregard the issue of their grammatical or lexicographic status, otherwise I will not be able to finish. However, this means that we will not consider arguments for or against any specific theoretical decisions, in particular, whether or not these units belong to two different parts of speech, adjectives and adverbs, or else they constitute a separate part of speech, together with the normal comparative or without it. We are not going to discuss these phenomena. Second, whether or not the paradigms of the adjectives and adverbs include the forms with po or else, the latter are their word formation derivatives and constitute independent words. So it's anything is possible, but we are not going to discuss that. And whether or not these units are comparatives in need of a grameme of an additional grammatical category, attenuativity or the like, or else regular comparatives and co-comparatives should be ascribed different values of a certain more general grammatical category. Still, we do have a solution, and just to be on the safe side, just to be definite enough, I'd like to proceed from three assumptions. There are adjectives with po and adverbs with po. If we take a sentence like "принеси камень потяжелее," bring a rather heavy stone, or bring a somewhat heavier stone. Both the translations are not exact but approximately acceptable. We have an adjective with po, and in the sentence "надо работать поактивнее," one has to work a bit more actively, there is an adverb with po. There are ambiguous sentences, like "он был повыше," and this word "повыше" may be interpreted either as an adjective, if it means he was somewhat taller, "он был повыше," and this relates to the sentence "он был высоким," he was tall. And it may be used as an adverb if it meant he was situated in a somewhat higher place, and relates to "он был высоко," so he was in a high place. You understand all this. He was tall, or he was at a high position. They are called attenuatives after Melchuk, and we will include them into the paradigms of the respective adjectives and adverbs. Actually, if an adjective or an adverb is ambiguous, has more than one sense, attenuatives may appear in the paradigms of all of the respective lexemes, or only in some of them. For instance, if you take things like легкий, lightweight, or легкий, easy, not difficult, both have attenuatives. Возьми молоток полегче, take a slightly lighter hammer. Or else, дайте ему задачу полегче, give him a task which could be slightly less difficult. Everything's okay. On the other hand, if you take things like острый, sharp, it readily generates the attenuative form in some of the senses. Нож поострее, a somewhat sharper knife, or соус поострее, a somewhat hotter sauce, but it categorically rejects them in a terminological sense. Аппендицит поострее, a somewhat more acute appendicitis or appendicitis. By the way, I'm saying that it is categorically rejected. However, you are able to find almost anything in texts, especially if these are texts with games with words, and many people do like to play games with words, and these po adjectives and adverbs are very widespread, so that almost anything is possible. I'm not sure about this appendicit, but other things can be really surprising. Another important feature is that all attenuatives are at the same time comparatives. It is not that they are not comparatives, that they oppose the comparatives. If it is an attenuative, it is a comparative. The other way around is, of course, wrong. They must be assigned the comparative grameme, since they appear in many types of syntactic environment typical of comparatives, including their comparative constructions, in which the second element of comparison, we'll call them comparate, is expressed by the genitive or introduced with the conjunctions, чем or нежели, then. For instance, if we say он зарабатывает больше директора, he earns more than the director, or else он зарабатывает побольше директора, he earns somewhat more than the director, он старше, чем его брат, he is older than his brother, он постарше, чем его брат, he is somewhat older than his brother, and everything like that. all constructions are possible with Po. Milchuk sees in these word forms, this is a morphological solution. He sees in these forms an attenuative quasi-grameme, that is, a grameme which is defined on a part of the paradigm rather than the whole paradigm. It is defined on the part of the paradigm that constitutes the comparatives. Okay, attenuatives are quite regular in the paradigm because most qualitative adjectives and adverbs have these forms. Not all of them, but many of them. Interestingly enough, if standard comparatives are present, it is no guarantee for this word to have an attenuated form. For instance, we have things like нужнее, more needful, or необходимее, more necessary, or желательнее, more desirable. But понужнее, понеобходимее, пожелательнее do not exist. Again, when I say they do not exist, you can be sure that there would be someone who would play with these forms and use them. Okay. On the other hand, we couldn't find a single case where there could be an attenuative form that could not be matched with a normal regular comparative. These are non-existent, perhaps. So it's a secondary phenomenon as far as the grammatical situation is concerned. Another important thing is that the attenuative are formed precisely in the same way as morphologically formed as standard comparatives are, with the same morphological structure, not depending on the productivity or non-productivity of the morphemes used or on morphological variation. So if they just repeat what you have in normal comparatives, with the exception of the prefix, of course. Резче, порезче, sharper, a bit sharper. Раньше, пораньше. Быстрее, or быстрей. Побыстрее, or побыстрей. Faster, or a bit faster. So everything's normal. So far, there have been no lexicographic resources at all, be they traditional or computerized, that could systematically indicate presence or absence of attenuatives for Russian adjectives or adverbs. The only resource that names these forms is our dictionary in the ETAP system. I will speak about this ETAP system in 2 weeks' time again on this seminar. But I only wanted to mention that our dictionary does have all the information of whether, for such and such paradigm, these attenuative comparatives exist or not. Interestingly enough, attenuatives are very frequently used in Russian translations from languages where there is nothing even remotely similar to such units. I found two interesting examples. One from Salinger. The Russian translation has пошире, somewhat wider. Как раз в этот момент руководительница хора наставляла их, чтобы они пошире раскрывали рты, когда поют. In the original, Salinger used the standard comparative. At the moment, their choir coach was advising them to open their mouths wider when they sang. It would be absolutely out of the question to put the Russian form шире. That would be very strange and almost ungrammatical. Пошире is a good thing. Another example is from Three Men in a Boat. Я предложил Джорджу вытащить банджо и попытаться исполнить какую-нибудь песенку повеселее. the original text does not even include a comparative. There is no comparative there. George should get out his banjo and see if he could not give us a comic song. However, Russian translations are very exact. There is not even a trace of artificiality to them, and they are absolutely adequate to the originals. So this is a very intrinsic form that is very widely used and popular. So much for the introduction. Now, the remaining parts are as follows. First, we'll speak about syntactic and combinatorial properties of attenuatives, and then we'll go on with the semantics, which is more interesting. However, these things could also be of interest because some of them are quite unexpected. Let's speak about attenuatives and the adverbs of degree that could or could not be combined with them. Normally, they are reluctant to allow adverbs denoting high degree, including those appearing exclusively or primarily with the comparative. For instance, words like гораздо or намного or куда in the meaning of much, or весьма in the meaning of quite. Гораздо сильнее, much stronger, is possible, but гораздо посильнее, much a bit stronger, is not possible. Работают куда быстрее is possible, but работают куда побыстрее, work noticeably somewhat faster, is impossible, and it is quite understandable because in these cases. We may have to do with the semantic contradiction. On the other hand, words that denote small degree, like немного or несколько, somewhat, or чуть, a tiny bit, or слегка, slightly, they could be used with the standard and the attenuated comparatives alike. Немного раньше, немного пораньше, somewhat earlier. Чуть глубже, чуть поглубже, a tiny bit deeper. It is also clear that these combinatorial peculiarities are of semantic nature. If побольше really means somewhat more, then expressions like намного побольше, much somewhat more, harbor a semantic contradiction. It is quite natural. An interesting situation is with the negation of attenuatives. It is hard to explain whimsical rules that attenuatives obey when combining themselves with the particle near. Such combinations are normal in contrastive situations, or in cases where the appropriate use of an attenuative is questioned. So actually, these are more or less meta-language expressions. Он был не постарше, а наоборот помоложе своей невесты. He was not somewhat older, but conversely somewhat younger than his fiancée. You understand what it is all about. What is negated is not the fact, but actually the use of the word. The one who says that implies that there had been someone else who used the word, and he argues with them not about the fact, but about the use of this word. It can be both ways. Он был не постарше, а наоборот помоложе. On the other hand, он к тому времени будет не постарше, а древним старцем с сединами до пола. By that time, he will not be a bit older, but an ancient old man with gray hair reaching to the floor. These are real examples. I have not invented them. And it is quite interesting. However, regular negation, whose scope could be confined to the attenuative, does not occur. You will never be able to meet it. Он не выше шестилетнего ребенка is quite okay. He is not taller than a six-year-old child. But you cannot say он не повыше шестилетнего ребенка. Absolutely out of the question. Even though, as far as semantics is concerned, there is nothing very particular about that that could very well be the fact. But this, the fact is that it does not occur. I would say that a probable cause may be the communicative structure of the attenuatives, communicative structure of the not of the sentence, but of the sense of the attenuative itself. Because it seems to contain a conjunction of two predicates. Let's have a look at these at this form. Побольше икса. It means more than x and a bit more than x. So it's not just the second part. So for instance, there are two predicates that co-occur in the sense of the word. And of course, such a conjunction does not allow a natural negation. We have examples of such situations in other constructions of Russian, and not only Russian, when you can see that there are no these can hardly be normally naturally negated. Let's take a sentence like «Он резко затормозил». Well, you understand what it could be. He slammed on the brakes, driving, and so on, which roughly would mean he used the brakes and used them abruptly. And it does not allow grammatical negation. You cannot say «Он не резко затормозил». In the meaning that you couldn't say there was not a case that he slammed on the brakes. He gave a sharp go at the brakes. It is impossible to negate that. Он не резко затормозил is out of the question. The same thing goes with these attenuatives for some reason. On the other hand, attenuatives reject even more strongly the negation accompanied by intensifiers. Он нисколько не повыше, or ничуть, ни капельки не повыше. He is not a tiniest bit taller than a six-year-old child. Is absolutely out of the question. Is entirely ungrammatical. Even one asterisk would not be enough to account for such an expression. Interestingly enough, only synthetic superlatives and comparatives have these forms. The analytical superlatives, easily formed from the standard comparative, as in лучше всего он имеет играть в футбол, he can play football best of all. So formally, лучше is the comparative. And the whole meaning is the superlative. He can play football best of all, or он сильнее всех. He is stronger than everybody else. And it is strictly banned that these comparatives could be turned into attenuatives. Получше всего он умеет играть в футбол. It is absolutely out of the question. Он посильнее всех. He is somewhat stronger than everyone else, is neither possible. However, as I said, even this ban is sometimes violated in colloquial speech if additional factors enter the play. There is a notable case of colloquial style making use of the verb будет, future tense of be, but this is a very specific context for attenuatives, the special sense of assumptive evaluation. It is very typical in attenuative context. Бразилия посильнее всех будет. Brazil will surely be stronger than all. And in this case, you may say so, strangely enough. And it is likely to appear in the discussion of a football championship. We believe that in such contexts, the attenuative loses the semantic element somewhat and behaves as a synonym of the regular comparative. And finally, unlike the regular comparative, which has both a synthetic and an analytical version, чаще or более часто, oftener or more often, the attenuative can only be synthetic. Поинтереснее is possible, but not поболее интереснее. This is an absolute ban. Now, as far as syntactic features are concerned, you might have heard that many Russian adjectives and adverbs have non-trivial syntactic features of the following nature. If they occupy the position of the predicate, or maybe in combination with a copula verb, you know that copula verbs are very often empty. They are not expressed and they are presented with a zero form. They may accept subjects expressed by an infinitive or a certain type of subordinate clause with что, чтобы conjunctions, or an indirect question. For instance, you can say, трудно было поверить, что он прав. It was difficult to believe that he was right. So the word like трудно has the feature, this feature is called прединв, that enables this word to behave, to appear in such contexts. Интересно, что они не помнят, кто предоставил им независимость. It is interesting that they do not remember who gave them their independence. So, интересно has the feature, пред что, that enables it to appear in the contexts where что они не помнят, that they do not remember, which is on the other side of the copula verb. Or важно, чтобы ему рассказали правду. It is important that he should be told the truth, another feature, another type of construction. These features are shared by standard comparatives, even though they are not manifested on a similarly regular basis and on a similarly large scale, because they may require that additional conditions should be satisfied. You can say something like «Еще интереснее, что они не помнят, кто предоставил им независимость». It is even more interesting that they do not understand who gave them their independence. In principle, attenuatives retain these features too. However, they seldom come into play, and the conditions imposed on acceptable utterances are even more rigid and less formalizable. Поверить, что он прав, было немного потруднее. It was somewhat more difficult to believe that he was right. And something like that, I will not read all these examples. A quite natural conclusion could be drawn from this. Any linguistic phenomenon manifests itself the most strongly in canonical, prototypical cases, and becomes, washed out, less and less expressed as one proceeds from the center to the periphery, and with regard to syntactic features of the kind that I had already mentioned, attenuatives are remote periphery. Attenuatives as attributes. I'm closing, I'm approaching the end of part second. In contrast to syntactic features, attributive constructions are not peripheral with regard to the attenuatives, but conversely are especially characteristic of them. This is interesting because normal comparatives are not as typical of attributive constructions. You can say something like «Позовите парней покрепче, call rather more strong guys. Я знал начальников и поумнее. I used to know bosses who were a bit more clever, etc. Look here, that another thing is indicative of the attenuative, namely this particle I, и поумнее, who were even in this case. Regular synthetic comparatives are unwelcome in such constructions that should be replaced by analytical ones. Позовите более крепких парней, but not позовите парней крепче, or else позовите крепче парней. These would be out of the question. And there is a very interesting subclass of attributive constructions which are formed by attenuatives where the modified word is one of the interrogative pronouns, кто or что. Позови кого покрепче. Call someone rather more strong. Пойдешь в магазин, купи чего повкуснее. If you go shopping, buy something rather more delicious. And you can add something into this subclass with the adjective какой. Я предлагал командиру закопать гранатомет в землю, но он приказал только завалить его камнями, выбирая, какие потяжелее. Well, I'll just read out loud the whole translation, because otherwise it would not be understandable. I proposed to the commander to dig the hand mortar, but he only ordered to heap stones on it, choosing very heavy ones. Choosing very heavy ones, this is the translation that is official. It is not that I invented that. Камнями, выбирая, какие потяжелее. And things like pronominal adverbs, его надо отправить куда подальше, he has to be sent to some rather remote place, and so on. Interrogative pronouns here, in fact, behave as indefinite pronouns. Купить чего повкуснее means syntactically and semantically to another class of cases where the interrogative pronoun is a subject or object of the predicate of a clausal complement, where this predicate is expressed by attenuative. I'm in the way. No. Он выбирал кого покрепче. He was choosing the one or the ones rather more strong. Он выбирал кто покрепче. So both things are possible. He was choosing who was rather more strong. This is a little bit different. Выбирал кого покрепче. He chose a person. Выбирал кто покрепче. He chose a situation. It comes to the at the end of ends. It comes to the same fact. He chose a person, but before choosing the person, he chose the fact. That's strange enough, and these constructions do co-occur. And another interesting thing is that the construction with the double conjunction чем, тем are absolutely excluded for attenuatives. Чем больше, тем лучше. The more, the better is quite possible, but never чем побольше, тем получше. In no case could you say so. So that's the end of syntactic and combinatorial properties of the attenuative. You understand, of course, that what I just did was the reiteration of these facts that we were able to observe, even though these observations are clear enough. Of course, most of them have semantic reasons and semantic background. Now I'd like, this is the main part of the talk, I'd like to discuss some semantic features of attenuatives. I'll do it shortly enough, but I hope you will be able to understand the whole thing. There are a couple of types of these attenuatives. Let's start with the comparative type. Let's have Let's take a look at this sentence. Только одно ухо, пожалуй, подлиннее другого. There is an excerpt from a text on about a dog. One ear is perhaps a bit longer than the other. In this case, you see that there are two objects that are compared. Одно ухо is the first object to be compared. It is called the first comparate. And другое ухо, the other ear, is the second object with which the first one is being compared. And this is called the second comparate. Closest of all to standard comparative constructions with non-attenuative forms of adjectives and adverbs are these sentences. Только одно ухо длиннее другого, it could also be said. Только одно ухо подлиннее другого is also normal. Interestingly, that this second comparate is syntactically optional. You may say, только одно ухо, пожалуй, подлиннее другого, but we can also say, только одно ухо, пожалуй, подлиннее. It will amount to one and the same. It will amount to one and the same thing. There is another example. После этого из щели выбежал таракан поменьше. After that, a smaller cockroach scurried out of the crack. There is no doubt that it couldn't be a case of one cockroach running. When we say выбежал таракан поменьше, it is clear that there should have been another cockroach, and that one would be larger. Из щели выбежал таракан меньше. Absolutely out of the question. You couldn't use that in any. There is no way of using that. Only these attenuative comparative. Only these attenuative comparatives could be here in place. Из щели выбежал второй таракан меньше первого. It would be possible with the regular comparative. So these attenuative comparatives behave in such a way that they allow the second comparate to disappear, not to occur. That's quite interesting. Okay. Even though it is syntactically optional, it is semantically obligatory. So if you say something like имение свое он продал и купил другое поменьше, he sold his estate and bought another one somewhat smaller, the idea is that there used to be another estate. Рядом с лестницей был холл поменьше. Near the stairs there was a somewhat smaller hall. Of course, there is no doubt that another hole appears somewhere else. Если бы я знала, что у тебя поднялась температура, я пришла бы пораньше. If I had known that your temperature got high, I would have come earlier, which would mean I would have come earlier than I really came. So there was another comparate in place. Если у тебя поднимется температура, я приду пораньше. So this means that it is not only the past tense, and respectively, it is not only the retrospection that could be here. Even prospective uses could also be possible. Если у тебя поднимется температура, я приду пораньше. If your temperature gets high, I will come earlier than I would come otherwise. You understand what happens, and this is a citation from a, if I'm not mistaken, from a blog, where two people discuss their behavior for tomorrow, and one says that he is getting ill and perhaps he'll get fever. And he said, okay, call me, she said, the girl, call me if your temperature, if you have high fever, then I'll come earlier. Then, in the occasion if you have no fever. There is a special case, a very interesting one, which is demonstrated by the correlative construction. Let us consider what happens in the sentence like "Мальчики пели громко, а девочки тихо." There are two situations. The boys were singing loudly. The girls were singing softly. A correlative construction is a two-part coordinative construction such that its both parts describe the same situation, let it be called P, in which two participants are mentioned, A and B. Well, in this case, P is singing. A is the one who is singing, and B is level of sound in singing. And two parts of the construction denote two copies of P, P1 and P2, which differ in these participants. Two parts of the construction have parallel communicative structures. A1 and A2 are themes, and B1 and B2 are reams, or the other way around. It is quite clear. And attenuatives are very often present in the correlative construction. This is an example. Хрустальные бокалы были побольше, а стеклянные поменьше. The crystal wine glasses were a bit bigger and the glass ones a bit smaller. And of course, this is semantically redundant because if you compare these two things, you should not you need not repeat that they are поменьше, because it is already clear. And it is interesting that in this case, comparative words are closed onto one another. So one act of comparison: хрустальные бокалы были побольше, чем стеклянные. And that's it. You should not repeat that стеклянные бокалы были поменьше, чем хрустальные, because it is already clear. It is closed. And the actants are crisscrossing each other, which is quite interesting and quite typical of these attenuative constructions. In the correlative construction, the scope of the comparison is determined univocally, absolutely unambiguously. Both comparates, you remember what comparates are, first comparate and second comparate, they have fixed positions in the correlative construction without being subordinated syntactically by them. And this is not characteristic of standard comparatives. You couldn't say хрустальные бокалы были больше, а стеклянные меньше. The crystal wine glasses were a bit bigger and the glass ones a bit smaller. In this case, it is not crisscrossing. It is not it is not closing to one another. You can say that crystal wine glasses were a bit bigger than, for instance, that one, and the wine glasses were a bit smaller than that one, but not crisscrossing that. Of course, if this thing occurs, the sense will be the same. So if there is a third thing with which you compare that, it will follow that the idea is there, that they will be smaller than crystal ones, of course. But that's another way of looking at things. And it is not semantics, but rather a logical inference. But when we use normal attenuatives, there is no logical inference. It just follows from the meaning of the attenuatives. I will skip this example because it's already has already been said. Interestingly, that even attenuatives do not always have a cross interpretation. So we will have to interpret these things differently, depending either on the context or else on your how you look at the external world, so to say. Let's take the example like мальчики пели погромче, а девочки потише. The boys were singing a little louder and the girls a little softer. That is one thing. On the other hand, мальчики старались петь, so what could that be? The girls sang softer than the boys. That's one example. The other example is the second sentence. Мальчики старались петь погромче, а девочки старались петь потише. The boys tried to sing rather louder, and the girls tried to sing rather more softly. Boys and girls are not compared at all. There are two different situations. One about discussing the behavior of the boys, the other discussing the behavior of the boys of the girls, and they are not compared with each other. Just imagine that another thing happened. For instance, the girls sang rather louder and the boys said rather more softly. In this case, they would more well, if the normal situation takes place, in this case they would sing more or less at the same level of loudness, so they cannot be compared with each other as far as the level is concerned. They are compared independently to a particular norm. So it's a different type of usage. And now we come to this last and very interesting use, namely the selective type of use. Let's take an example. If I'm not mistaken, it is from Pushkin. Я поскорее выбрался из кибитки. I got out of the caravan as soon as I could. Or else, он выбрал площадку, где было поменьше комков. He chose a piece of land where there were fewer lumps of earth. There is a person who wanted to put a tent on the ground, and he wanted to find a piece of flat ground. So he chose a piece of land where there were fewer lumps of earth. So you see that there is no second comparate, and this comparate does not even meant. You shouldn't compare his quick getting out of the caravan with anything else. It is not confronted with anything. He chose a piece of land where there were fewer lumps of earth. This piece of land is not compared with any other piece of land. You know, there is no direct comparison with anything obvious. That is just a problem of choice. Принеси камень потяжелее. That's the example that I already mentioned. Bring a stone somewhat heavier than this one. So this may mean two things. In one context, it may quite mean bring a stone somewhat heavier than this one. This one is bad. Bring something a little bit heavier. On the other hand, you can see the non-comparative usage, bring a relatively heavy stone. Of course, the stone is considered against the background of other stones, but not against the background of one particular stone. What is attenuated in this case? The difference between the compared objects, as in the comparative type, этот камень потяжелее, чем тот? This stone is somewhat heavier than this one. No. The answer is that the scope of attenuation is different. Let us try and compare it with the superlative use. Принеси самый тяжелый камень. Bring the heaviest stone. That's quite clear. There is a lot of stones. You just find the heaviest one. There is one. Just bring it. Принеси камень, чем тяжелее, тем лучше. Okay? Bring a stone, the heavier, the better. It is very close to the superlative degree, but it is less categorical. Maybe you don't bring the heaviest stone. Just bring a very heavy one. Perhaps you are not strong enough to raise the heaviest stone. Okay, but you find the stone that you are able to carry and bring it to me. That would be okay. Принеси камень потяжелее. Bring a rather more heavy stone, that is the translation. But what does this situation actually mean? You have a lot of stones. You take the one that is closer to the heaviest ones, not necessarily the heaviest one. And I would even say, it's not only not necessary that it should be the heaviest one. It couldn't be the heaviest one. You just choose it among the heaviest stones, but not the very heavy, but not the most heavy. That would be out of the question. Otherwise, it would not be correct. So, in these three occasions, the categorical character of utterances is gradually weakening. So first is very hard, second is less hard, and third is less hard still. In the last sentence, it is not required, as I already told you, that the stone be the heaviest of all. It will suffice if it is heavier than most of the other stones. So there are two semantic types of attenuative. So the thing is that we do not have, in this case, we have to do not with attenuative comparative, but with attenuative superlative, so to say. So as though you tried to use the superlative, meaning that you somehow point out to an object which is the most, which is the heaviest one, which is the most important one, and everything like that. But for some reasons, you do not want this choice to be made. You will make this choice lesser level, so to say. I believe that this view is also typically Russian. Even this idea of choosing something that belongs to the highest pole, to the high pole of the scale, but last thing of that is I believe that it is quite typical Russian deliberation. So there are two semantic types of attenuative superlatives, or these are comparative type, and there are selective type, more than all the others, more than most of the others. So morphologically, these forms remain comparatives, while semantically they are attenuative superlative. And I'm coming to my last thesis. In these attenuatives, you always have the central idea of choice being made. There is always a subject or a person who has a number of alternatives before him, and he attempts, or maybe he is asked by someone or impelled by someone, to select the one among them which surpasses most of the other alternatives in the degree of the property. Иван выбрал яблоко побольше. He chose as big an apple as he could. It's quite normal, because there is this central idea of choice. There are lots of apples, and he chose one of the biggest ones, and that's okay. It is impossible to say, however, на столе лежало яблоко побольше. On the table there was an apple as big as possible, out of the question. Because there is nothing to compare and there is nothing to choose from. There is just one apple and you cannot compare it with anything like that. Of course, if you read into this sentence the idea of apples being somewhere else and this one, apple, that was lying on the table was larger than most of the other ones, it would be okay. But in this case, this central idea of choice would be reiterated. It would reappear. So in this case, a lexicographic definition may be in place for the grameme of attenuatives. So X по plus P. X such that having the possibility to choose among different X's, the subject chooses the one which has property P to a greater degree than most of other X's. So I believe that is it. I understand, of course, that even though I still might have missed some of the assertions, still I believe that I hope that some assertions could be understood. And now I'm ready to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you very much. Well, there is one exception, Lithuanian.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'd like to refer to Czech. This prefix po used in this catching in this way. Yeah. Sorry. Attenuative. Sorry. The words such as poblíž, starší, podál, these are the phenomena of. Used in this way. Yeah?
So this might be a lexicalized. Yeah? There are a couple of things. And could you give a more detailed account of what that could mean?
Pomalu, it might be, they might be using this this meaning.
It is comparative.
I think so, yeah. Pomalu, poblíž, this might be, they might be regarded as.
Of course, I could not exclude these ideas, and there may be even cases in other Slavic languages that are a couple of lexicalized units. However, as far as grammar is concerned, large scale attenuatives do not exist. There is a large-scale attenuative in Lithuanian of a quite different nature, but it exists there.
Because mostly this material is in Czech missing, so I have no feeling for some your claims for Russian. And the question is concerns the selective usage. Is it possible with a not great quality but small quality?
Of course. Поменьше.
Принеси камень
поменьше. Yes, of course, it's possible. You just, you just choose among smaller stones, not the smallest one, but among the smaller. There is absolutely no difference between these poles. The high pole and the low pole are on a par here.
Mm-hmm. But in some of your examples, the ambiguity was present. And you mentioned only this meaning, which...
I believe the ambiguity is always there. Mm-hmm. The ambiguity is mm-hmm. always...
Between
comparatives and the attenuative superlative. Yeah. These are things that are difficult to grasp. The things that depend on the world picture. It is difficult to resolve this ambiguity contextually. You have to resort to a situation.
So it was a question which I had in when you quoted the example with Tarakan Pamenche as syntactically optional.
Right.
But another examples were semantically obligatory. But it is the same with Tarakan Pamenche. It is semantically obligatory. Pamenche Chem.
In this case, if you speak about these cockroaches being smaller or larger, not in the selective interpretation, but in the comparative interpretation, of course, in this case, this would be the fact, because the semantic, the second comparator is. This thing about these cockroaches is difficult to understand in the meaning of selection. But if you should select a smaller cockroach, then it will be the same. Then no second comparator will be semantically obligatory.
For the selective reading.
Yeah.
Okay. And one more question, if possible. If you spoke about the view that these forms with spo, prefix spo, are the whole paradigm or partial paradigm, how it is reflected? If it is partial paradigm, does it mean that it is only this form as paradigmatical of stari pastarsha? Yes. If it is the whole paradigm, it means that postarsha is a lexical, separate lexical item?
Yeah. As I said, I avoided theoretical discussions. However, I gave you the solutions that we did, used. And we do it in the following way. We ascribe a special morphological feature. It's called smug or mm-hmm. mollified or whatever, which is described in addition to the grammatical feature comparative. So it's sraven comparative plus smug mollified. Mm-hmm. So of course not all forms have that. Only these comparative forms may or may not have this additional grameme.
I have just one example, and unfortunately I didn't put the example down, but it seemed to me that with some of your, of course my knowledge of Russian is just very, very, you know, in the very past, so to say. So, but I thought that in some of those examples, if you just change the word order, you might come to a kind of accessibility of the form. So when you had that example with negation, at least that was my feeling, that mm-hmm. if that nye something would be at the end of the sentence, that you would judge the example in a different way than if it was inside the sentence. Is that right? Or?
With negation.
Yeah.
As I said, I don't think it would be possible to have this nye just to act so that the scope of this negation is confined by this attenuative. You may say, принеси ведро воды, не больше. It's okay. But you will never be able to say something like that. Принеси ведро воды, не побольше. Out of the question. So what do you mean by the word order? Не is always precedes that.
No, I meant, sorry. I meant the order of the не plus something in another place. Not just не. I mean, that's clear to me. But the whole...
Не побольше воды принеси.
Да, да.
No.
Yes.
Oh yes, of course, because in this case, if we on резко затормозил on the one hand, and on резко не затормозил, он не затормозил резко, of course, these phenomena are affected by word order. But then it is affected not exactly by the word order, but the communicative structure. И both резко and затормозил stay within the seam or within the rim, it's out of the question. You cannot negate them. Он затормозил не резко, okay. Он резко, он не затормозил резко, also possible. No, but you cannot say, он не резко затормозил, out of the question. And the same goes with these. I believe that this goes with the attenuatives too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It can also be formed by this way. For instance, if you derive a verb from an adverb on an adjective this way. Is it possible?
A verb,
and you derive a verb from
derive.
This. Yes, yeah. It's possible. Yeah.
A verb derived from
повысить.
Oh no, no.
Restricted to adverbs and adjectives.
No, only. I don't think it has nothing to do with this attenuative. No. Of course, you understand that the whole meaning of this, prefix is that of modification. Is that of comparison. You take the Bulgarian example, the Bulgarian language, where po is used to make comparatives, po golam or something like that. But as far as these prefixes in verbs are concerned, well, I never thought about that. I would hardly believe that these have to do with modification. With comparison, maybe, but not with modification.